Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Silk or Joe Show. Co-host Joe filling in for you all today. Why did I say filling in? Oh, yeah, that's because I just did the Al Nathan Show the other day this week. I might not have posted about it on my social media page, GetterGETTR.com, at Silk or Joe Show, but I did... in fact, guest host for Al Nathan, and I am today the host. I'm co-host of this show, not a guest host, not filling in for anybody. Although, to some extent, I suppose Jane Silk in the title Silk or Joe Show, I suppose I'm filling in for her since she's not doing it. Though she did indicate recently to me that she plans to host the show perhaps sometime in October, so something to look forward to. Anyway... The Silk or Joe Show comes to you courtesy of the Main Street Radio Network. We've been around for, we've been around for close to 12 years now. We're just 2 months shy of that 12-year mark. And Jane has been a consistent host throughout that entire time. Heck, originally the show debuted under her name, Jane, with an exclamation point in all caps. And it's since metamorphosized from that to what its current format is, which started by, like 4.5 years ago. Anyway, though, so find out all this on MainStreetRadioNetwork.com, or some of it, or find out something at MainStreetRadioNetwork.com about the show. One other thing you can find there is a feed where you can listen to the show as it's pelched out at 12 noon on Saturdays Eastern. And it's also where you can find podcasts for the show, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com. And you can find us on social media as well, the aforementioned Getter, GETTR.com, at Silk or Joe Show. But it's worthwhile taking a look at the Main Street Radio Network pages. That's where Jane mostly posts. Facebook and Facebook and Wimpkin at Main Street Radio Network. X at Main Street Radio. You got to differentiate the two, because on X there is no network after Main Street Radio. It is just Main Street Radio. And heck, while you're at it on X, go follow Al and Nathan. So that way, in case I forget to post that I'm hosting his show, you can see that I'm hosting his show from a post about me being the host on at Al and Nathan. Anyway, so we also want to thank the Salem Radio Network for distributing this show. Now then, I'm just starting off here with a follow-up to a story I talked about on the Al and Nathan show when I hosted for him on Wednesday. That is September 24th of this week. September 24th of this week, as if there's a September 24th at any other week in this particular year. But anyway, I was talking about how on TikTok, there's this now challenge where I guess all these women to prove Trump wrong are taking Tylenols while pregnant after Trump cautioned against it. And Health and Human Services actually first found an old tweet from Tylenol themselves from 2017 saying pregnant women should avoid their products. But yet here you have them saying, well, because Trump said it, we're going to ignore what the company itself said. And actually the media out there too are doing really a good snow job trying to make Trump look terrible about this story, just outright saying, lying and saying, there's no evidence about Tylenol and pregnant people. There's no evidence, whatever. It's just something Trump made up. Everyone from the local news right on up to the higher-ups, oh, Trump is lying about Tylenol. But then we have Tylenol themselves in 2017 with a tweet saying, oh, pregnant women actually shouldn't be using our product. You should be avoiding it. So is Tylenol denying the science now? But also, as part of the follow-up, there is one particular pregnant woman who was taking part in this Prove Trump Wrong Tylenol challenge, overdosed, and is fighting for her life on a ventilator right now, because she decided to cave into Trump derangement syndrome, like everyone else has, and ignore not only warnings from actual professional doctors who are not paid, bought, and paid for by the corporations, but also apparently ignore Tylenol's own warning about it. Because, let's see, this call appears to have come in at 4 a.m., according to this article at Gateway Pundit. We can only assume it was 4 a.m. today, or not today, but September 25th. And this tweet from Tylenol actually resurfaced the day before, So this person, unless the liberal media didn't bother reporting on Tylenol's own words about avoiding their product, which hardly surprising that they would have avoided reporting on that. After all, the goal is not to make you healthy. The goal is to prove Trump wrong. As the Babylon Bee might have joked, or someone joked anyway online, I forgot who, if Trump came out in favor of fresh, clean air, liberals would freaking stick their heads up against a tailpipe of a car while it's running. So that's just how deranged they are. I mean, gee whiz, look what happened when RFK Jr. took over the Health and Human Services. Suddenly, all this crap that liberals had been saying about how processed, highly processed our foods were and stuff like that, now it turns out that the prunes were just fine the way they are. You can safely eat them. There's nothing wrong with it, all because Trump decided to look into it. This isn't the first time we've seen this crap either from liberals. I mean, I remember in Trump's first term, he had this idea of supplementing food stamps. Like, he'd cut a little bit of the budget for food stamps and replace it by shipping fresh food to people in food deserts. Now, for those of you who haven't heard that term before, a food desert is basically where grocery stores aren't able to flourish in a community, so you have to go many miles. You have to go 10, 20, 30 minutes out of your way to get to a grocery store, maybe even longer to get to a grocery store, just because, you know, crime has driven one out of your community is the usual problem. So So you can't get fresh foods, fresh vegetables. You can only get what you find at your local convenience store. So, you know, a pizza or a bag of chips, and that's your food. So to help with this food desert problem and handle America's health problems altogether, really, Trump thought, hey, maybe we could do with the food stamps. Okay, I'm saying Trump, but the Trump administration. I don't know if Trump himself came up with this idea. But the Trump administration in sometime between 2017 and 2020, they came up with this scheme. Hey, we will take some fresh food and give it to them, to give it to people on food stamps as part of food stamps. They would still be getting some amount of money from food stamps, but they would also, every week or every month or whatever, they'd get a shipment of fresh food, particularly if they lived in a food desert. That way, they have access to fresh and healthy food, guaranteed access to it. Well, wouldn't you know it? The same liberals who complain about food deserts and how racist they are said it was racist to counteract that by shipping fresh food to people who needed it. So, are we really surprised that liberals are now overdosing on Tylenol despite Tylenol's own warnings about taking Tylenol while pregnant? God help the children, though, but, I mean, liberal women, they don't really care about the kid in the womb anyway. I mean, come on, these are the people who don't think that the child is alive until you've given birth to it. So, of course, they're not going to really give a damn about what they do to the kid while they're in the womb. I'm surprised liberal women are out there. Well, I guess they wouldn't be smoking, unless Trump came out against smoking. But I'm surprised they're not out drinking while pregnant, just because, you know, care about having a party and a good time, as opposed to the child that I don't even acknowledge as a child in my womb. Because that's just the liberal mentality behind it. So I guess it's no wonder they're being so reckless with their health and the health of their child by overdosing on Tylenol just to spite Trump. And that's all it is, just to spite Trump. You want to see how psychotic leftists are? Look what they're willing to do to themselves for no other reason than to spite Trump. And in total flagrant disregard for warnings about the people who make the products that they have. Because, all right, to an overdose on Tylenol, unless this woman had an allergy or something, she really must have taken quite a few of them in order to do that. And just, and ignored the labels on the bottle, just despite Trump. Ignore what the company said in 2017 about not taking anything at all while pregnant, then ignore what the bottle recommends you take if you are healthy, just to spite Trump. A suicidal devotion to hatred. And their ideology, I guess, because we have seen that before. You've seen how, in the wake of people being killed by blacks, for example, their liberal relatives will say, well, this person wouldn't have wanted you to put the black person in prison for shooting them or killing them in some way, because that would be injustice. That would be adding to the injustice in the community, and that would be worse than their death. So just let them flee. We won't press charges. We have seen that. And armed carjacking, we've seen that as well, where it was in Minneapolis, I think, shortly, 2020, 2021, somewhere in there, where this liberal woman, she was carjacked at gunpoint by a couple of black kids, and she apologized to them for calling the police. Because she figured, well, it's better that I have a gun to my face, that I almost get killed, than I be the one who puts another black person in prison or allows blacks to come into contact with the police. That's just how nuts these leftists are. And is it any wonder now that we're seeing these assassination attempts and completed assassinations? Of course not. Look at how psychotic they are with this assassination culture. So I guess, by extension, is it any wonder then that they're willing to kill themselves and their children just the same as they're willing to kill Republicans? If it all leads to spiting a Republican, go for it. It seems to be their mentality as their party runs headlong into the ground. Not soon enough for my taste, because we're probably going to end up with Democrats in charge of the state of Virginia, where I live, for a few years. And people who are willing to commit suicide with Tylenol just to spite Trump are going to be running my state for 4 years. Terrific. More Silk or Joe Show coming up after this break.
This summer's heat waves brought higher UV indexes across the country, and that's cause for concern. Dr. Raza Bukhari, CEO of Medicus Pharma, explains.
90% of non-melanoma skin cancers are related to exposure to ultraviolet radiation from the sun.
Even with regular use of sunscreen, high UV rays can cause significant damage. That's why getting a professional skin check could save your life. And new treatments on the horizon are poised to revolutionize the way skin cancer is treated.
We are currently in phase 2 trials of a non-invasive skin cancer treatment called SkinJet. This small microneedle transdermal patch provides a relatively painless, cost-effective treatment for basal cell skin cancer. So far, in our interim analysis, more than 60% of patients achieved complete clinical clearance.
For more, visit medicuspharma.com.
Each day, more than 1,000 children across the world are diagnosed with cancer. And despite it being the leading cause of death by disease among children in the United States, many of today's standard treatments were approved more than 30 years ago. That's exactly why Northwestern Mutual has made it our mission to bring attention to this cause. We declare September 4th as Golden Moments Day, a day of national recognition across the United States to honor stories of resilience, community impact, and breakthroughs in research and treatments that will light the way to a brighter future. To reinforce our commitment, for each new financial plan delivered to prospective clients in September, the Northwestern Mutual Foundation will donate $100 to Alex's Lemonade Stand Foundation, up to $2 million. That would fund 40,000 hours of research. But there is still work to be done. Help us make a lasting impact this September. I invite you to join us in our mission to find better treatments and cures for childhood cancer. Visit NorthwesternMutual.com to find an advisor near you.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
Welcome back to the Silver Joe Show. Everybody, co-host Joe with y'all here today. And we are joined for this segment by Stephen Milford. He is a spokesman for Gun Owners of America. He is the archetypical good guy with a gun. In 2017, he stopped the deadliest mass shooting in Texas's history, and he is author of A Town Called Sutherland Springs, Faith and Heroism Through Tragedy. Stephen Milford, happy on the show. How are you today?
I am doing superb. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, and I noticed that the audio from your phone has improved quality over what we usually have. So thank you for that. I appreciate that. Right now we are dealing with the aftermath of this shooting in Dallas. And of course we're getting calls for gun control, but again, it's rather incoherent because the calls for gun control have nothing to do, as usual, with the firearm that was used. What's your take on it?
Oh, it's ridiculous. And the left is saying, oh, these are untraceable firearms, you know, and what gun is traceable? Because any gun can be sold multiple times, it cannot be traced. It really cannot. So it can't be traced back to the man that used it, like Charlie Kirk's shooter. It was an old Mauser that was converted into a 30-06 and then put a nylon stock made into a hunting rifle. And this latest one there in Dallas was actually an old Yugoslavian Mauser, you know, which was a World War II gun. Of course it's untraceable, you know? It may have been brought over as a war trophy from World War II. There's no way to trace the 400 million guns in the United States. There's no way to trace that. And so what are you going to do as far as gun control? It just doesn't happen.
Right. And these aren't even the guns that they would ostensibly allow us to keep so far, because they've gone after semi-automatic weapons in general with several bills that they tried to pass in the Senate. They usually go after their so-called military style assault weapons. But, you know, bolt action rifles from World War II surplus, bolt action hunting rifles, so far that they've been saying that those were okay. And they even had Tim Walz posing with a gun that wasn't semi-automatic or anything to show how serious they are about allowing us to keep something.
Yeah, anytime you say I'm for the Second Amendment, but you add that but onto it, that is just that just shows you're not for the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment says shall not be infringed, and actually with the Second Amendment you should be able to own full automatic M16s and not AR-15s, but full automatic M16s, and that may be a radical stance for some people to work their mind around, but we the people should have the right to own exactly what the military owns, because the Second Amendment was for the deterrent of a radicalized government. And we have seen close to that in the past ourselves, you know. So we have the right to be able to own whatever the military owns, because that's what the Second Amendment was about.
Mm-hmm. And we've seen what happens in Western nations that have gotten rid of their version of the Second Amendment. Canada, for example, right after they have this universal handgun ban, suddenly the government says, by the way, if you tweeted something that we don't like 15 years ago, we're going to come and arrest you for it. And then you have, good gosh, England, where they're going around, they're now trying to ban, like, ghost knives, knives that people make at home. And
So what's crazy is I just did a podcast with a young lady that's here in America, and she's fighting for her rights in Australia because she's Australian. And now Australia has even come up and said that it is illegal to try to convert someone to Christ, to convert someone to a Christian In Australia, that is illegal now, and you can be arrested, even if the person asks you to help them convert to Christianity. That is illegal in Australia, and you could end up in prison for it.
We do have something similar to that in the United States. With homosexuality, there are places where it is illegal if a homosexual person comes and asks you, and you're like a psychologist or a professional or something, and they come and ask you to help them be straight. That's actually illegal in some places in the U.S.
And how can that be? How can that be? That's our First Amendment, and just remember, our Second Amendment protects all the rest of the amendments, and the Bill of Rights, which are all the amendments. The Bill of Rights are recognized in this country as rights granted to us by God, our Creator. And what the Bill of Rights is not the government granting us rights. It is recognizing that we have those rights and that they don't have any right to infringe upon those rights, that the government, it is preventing the government from infringing upon those rights that are the Bill of Rights. And they are the only rights that are stated into the Bill of Rights that the states are not supposed to be able to change. The way our Constitution was created, we are a petri dish of states, if you will, small countries in of themselves, but united together under the Constitution, which rules these states cannot infringe upon the Bill of Rights. Those states have to stick with the Bill of Rights, with First Amendment rights, right to religion, right to speech, right to disagree with your government, right to assemble and things like that. And the Second Amendment is the right to bear arms, to own and bear arms, so that the Second Amendment actually protects all the rest of them.
And we've seen the lack of respect for the Constitution, not just in leftist rhetoric, but also in our courtrooms. Somewhere in the state of New York, you had that one judge who said that the Second Amendment doesn't exist in this courtroom. And then you have the state of Hawaii, where they outright said that the Second Amendment doesn't apply to anything in the state.
Oh, Hawaii said the spirit of aloha overrides the Constitution of the United States. The spirit of aloha. What the crap is that supposed to mean?
I think it means they're in open rebellion against the United States government.
Absolutely. And honestly, it's time that the Supreme Court stood up for the Second Amendment. It is not a second degree freedom. It is just like the rest of the Bill of Rights, and just as powerful in it. And again, it defends rights. Please go to gunowners.org. Gunowners.org. We're even going to the U.S. Virgin Islands soon to be fighting on their Congress floor to protect and defend the Second Amendment, because the Virgin Islands, the U.S. Virgin Islands, are even part of the United States.
Mm-hmm. Well, Stephen Wilford, appreciate you being on the Silker Joe Show to talk about this. And again, listeners, gunowners.org. You can check them out. We're coming up to a break, but more Silker Joe Show on the other side.
Research shows a continued decline in childhood vaccines over the past several school years. That and the resurgence of measles across the U.S. has put public health officials and family physicians on high alert. Medical professionals say it's understandable to have questions about vaccines, and if you do, ask. Dr. Diana Howard with the American Academy of Family Physicians.
Timely vaccinations are essential to protect families, neighbors, and loved ones, especially as the school year begins. Your family physician is a trusted place to get the answers and support you need when it comes to vaccines. The American Academy of Family Physicians wants you to know Vaccines work. They are safe, effective, and save lives. Family physicians can help you make sure the whole family is up to date on their vaccinations and protected from preventable diseases, especially before school starts. And it's understandable to have questions. Your doctor wants you to be an advocate for yourself and your loved ones. So take those questions to your next appointment.
For more information, visit familydoctor.org.
It's the time of year when young adults are off to college or starting their first career. One important aspect of moving into adulthood is making the transition from pediatric to adult healthcare. Lucille Aceta from CVS Health shares more.
The right time to transition out of pediatric care can sneak up on parents. So have conversations early with your teenagers to help them prepare, especially if they live with a chronic illness. Start by teaching them how to refill a prescription and that their local pharmacist is a valuable resource. For more complex conditions, CVS specialty teams can help them as they move into adult care.
Madison Miller lives with a chronic illness and managed her move to adult care at 19.
Change can be uncomfortable at first, but now I realize how important learning to own my healthcare has been to my personal growth. With the help of CVS Specialty, prescription reminders, ordering through the app, and mail delivery have made managing my chronic condition easier.
For more helpful tips and information, visit CVSHealth.com.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Silver Joe Show, everybody. Co-host Joe with y'all here this weekend. So earlier on the Alan Nathan Show, I say that like that. Previously on the Alan Nathan Show, yes, this morning. No, on Wednesday when I hosted the Alan Nathan Show, I did mention the shooting in Texas where. So far, one person has died, two were just wounded, and the lot of them were illegal immigrants, whereas the shooter is a rabid leftist who was trying to hit ICE agents, but missed by a mile, because, you know, leading me, teeing me up to think that possibly this was an assassination attempt on those people. But the more we learn about the shooter, the less likely that seems to be, which makes, I guess, explains it, because the shooter is a total dumb. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that word. I forgot to ask the producer. I was allowed to say it. I almost said that word on the Al Nathan show too. The shooter is a total idiot. So, yeah, like I was saying on the Al Nathan show, you're looking at a van, an ICE van, that's pulling up to the loading facility at the ICE processing center. So you fire into the back of it. Who did you think you were going to hit? Who would be back there other than illegal immigrants, okay, when you're pulling up to that particular section of the facility in one of those vans? Did the guy just think it was like a clown car full of ICE agents? What idiocy was that? And that is why I thought, and also the very low effort on just writing anti-ICE on one of the shell casings from the bullets, like, that was really low effort. So between those two, you know, I was thinking, okay, maybe it was meant to target the people in the back of the truck, but in the back of the van. But as we see more and more about the shooter, also the shooter has a past where he was caught, arrested for delivering marijuana, which I don't know how he got a gun to begin with then. If he has that on his criminal record, I think that prohibits you from buying a firearm. I mean, I don't know if the charges were dropped or downgraded or whatever, but I just know he was arrested for that, which, you know, also leads to the suspicion maybe that he has connections with the local drug kingpins and they had him carry out the hit for them rather than facing some other punishment for failing them or something like that. But and that's why he committed suicide at the end of it. But who knows? The more we see it, the more it looks like, no, this was just a rabid leftist who was also a stupid one, which, as we were discussing in the opening segment with pregnant liberal women overdosing on Tylenol, it seems there's quite a few of them these days. But and this is just the result of course, the left's rhetoric. So how does MSNBC reply? Well, they bring on this former FBI agent. I'm just looking at Breitbart here. They bring on this former FBI agent who says ICE needs to change its policies and its tactics or there will be more violence from leftists. That's right. The only solution is to give the terrorists what they want. That's how Breitbart phrased it. Only solution is give terrorists what they want. That's what this FBI guy is telling MSNBC should happen. And that's what MSNBC wants to happen. Because they don't like these Democrat voters being arrested, these money bags for the Democrat Party. You know, ever since Trump took office, 2 million people have left the country. I think, I'm not sure if that was the self-deportation figure or if that was just overall people kicked out, including self-deportations. But that is a hit to the Democrat Party for two reasons. Number one, some of them are probably voting Democrat. Number two, these people are, when you take the census, go into congressional apportionment. That's why Democrats are so mad that Trump wants to change the census to be such that it does not count non-citizens. It counts non-citizens right now, and the congressional congressmen are apportioned based on total population, including illegal immigrants in that community. So, as I've explained before, you know, you could have theoretically one citizen, a Democrat voter, and 2 million illegal immigrants, and you get several congressmen for that one citizen. Well, I mean, like five citizens, I guess, one for each congressman, but it's almost like a congressman per citizen, though, depending on how many illegal immigrants are in the community and the ratio to actual citizens. That's a hyperbolic example, but that just kind of explains what the situation is and why Democrats would be so keen on keeping the population numbers where they are, if not expanding them. And another thing that happens too, if you flood a community with illegal immigrants, well, the average Republican voter, if they can move out, they're going to move out. The people left are going to be the economically downtrodden and other reliable Democratic demographics. So Democrats win over community by doing that as well. That's why you see these midnight flights to various red districts, solid red districts, because they're trying to upend those districts. And it's just a demographic replacement. If you can't find people to vote for you and your own citizens, you just flood the zone with people from another country. And we saw that actually worked out. I think it was 2008 that I was reading about this. Spain did this, or either that or Portugal. One of those two did this back then. It just occurred to me off the top of my head. That's why it has not been researched out, but I read about it back in 2008 happening. So it is just how the left figures they're going to operate. In fact, that's what Russia was doing to the eastern provinces of Ukraine, flooding the zone with Russian citizens, and then they hold a referendum. Hey, who wants to secede from the Ukraine? Oh, all of us here who are just moved here from Russia anyway, or convinced the population to be friendly towards us, or chased out anyone of the population who wasn't friendly towards us. Now Democrats are doing it with the illegal immigrants, and that is why they are so mad. That is why they do not want these ICE raids. Well, in addition to that, these ICE raids are disrupting what I assume is money laundering operations by the Democrat Party. Because if you'll recall, in Los Angeles, when ICE was disrupting a money laundering operation by illegal immigrants, that is when Democrats went on the attack. That is when the riots started, when a money laundering operation was disrupted. So that is what Democrats are protecting. And they are increasing their rhetoric, and now they're saying, well, we're going to keep killing ICE agents. That's what this FBI guy told MSNBC. He just encouraged the liberal voters, go out there, commit more acts of violence until the government change. Be terrorists until the government caves into your terrorist demands. That's what MSNBC's message is from this analyst, this FBI analyst. You know, I have to wonder, is he still working for the agency in some capacity? Because that's actually kind of what the FBI was doing under Obama, possibly under Trump too. As I've mentioned before, two-thirds of the Islamic terrorists who were radicalized under the Obama administration that were caught by the FBI, two-thirds of them were actually radicalized by the FBI. So is it any wonder that on the deep state, state-sponsored media like MSNBC, that's probably controlled from the top by the CIA anyway, that they would have on an FBI agent to do that exact thing and encourage more radicalization among the viewers? Something should be done about that guy. I don't know. I mean, if you're out there encouraging terrorism and you're a former federal agent, like, couldn't he at least lose benefits or something? But, you know, if he's encouraging terrorism against the country that's giving him his paycheck, the least the government could do is cut his paycheck, right? There's no rule against that, I guess, because he sure seems to not want his paycheck at this point now that he's encouraging terrorism. And boy, what must his fellow agents feel? Oh, here's this ex-FBI guy, someone we might have cooperated with, who is now calling for us to be assassinated just because we're doing our job for once, instead of doing what was going on under the Biden administration, which was twiddling our thumbs while 10 million people entered the country illegally just to bolster Democrat numbers. Which shows also, if this FBI guy is any indication, again, whose party that the deep state is on, whose side they're with, the Democrat Party. That's why the FBI was targeting opponents of the Democrat Party during the Biden administration, and you weren't getting much pushback from it, from the agents who were involved. Oh, sure, a couple came out after the fact, after Trump took over, came out as whistleblowers, probably to save their own bacon. But other than that, it seems like it was rather accepted and acceptable behavior at the FBI. There was no mass resignation and protest like we see whenever a Republican does stuff. Look what happened in I think it was the CDC earlier this year, when the Trump administration, earlier this year, like last month, when the Trump administration did a little retweaking at the CDC, you had mass resignations in protest. Nothing like that happened at the FBI when the Biden administration turned it on parents and Catholics. Nothing like that happened at the FBI. But sure, we know that they'll do it if they have a crisis of conscience and want to protest. Heck, I recall earlier this year, one of the Democrat in the Democrat primary for the state of Virginia, one of the candidates to challenge the attorney general, actually was campaigning on, I didn't work for Trump, I resigned the moment he took office because I just could not work for the man. So we know that liberals would resign if they were opposed to what was going on. So that kind of indicates to me that there is no mass resignations in the FBI either under Biden or under Trump. That means that something's going on in there that's kind of buffering them from the consequences of whatever administration is involved, or they're all liberals. Kind of makes you wonder, especially given how over 90% of the people in the area these agents in D.C. would live happen to vote for Kamala Harris and Democrats in general. So now you have one of their own who's advising the government to give in to terrorists, left-wing terrorists. Wonder what they'll advise next. I wonder what poisonous advice they're giving to Trump right now. More Silker Dish after this break.
Burgers and hot dogs may headline the grill, but baked beans are making a strong showing at summer cookouts. Chef James Brissione has more.
Baked beans are incredibly versatile. I use them in hamburger bakes, layer them into hot dogs with cheese, and even stuff them into grilled chili rellenos. They bring big flavor with little effort.
Chef's Chili Relleno recipe starts with poblano peppers stuffed with Bush's vegetarian baked beans, onions, jalapenos, and red bell pepper. For something heartier, hamburger baked beans combine seasoned ground beef with Bush's original baked beans.
That Chili Relleno dish is one of my favorites. It's easy to prep, great for vegetarian or gluten-free guests, and the beans add that smoky, savory bite that works with anything else on the plate.
Another go-to for feeding a crowd is baked bean and cheese hot dogs, made with Bush's brown sugar hickory baked beans, onions, and cheddar. Bush's baked beans varieties include original, brown sugar hickory, vegetarian, zero sugar added, and more. Visit bushbeans.com.
Respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV, is known for affecting infants and young children. But the reality is that adults between 50 and 74 years of age with certain risk factors, or 75 or older, are at increased risk for severe infection. Dr. Candace Robinson from GSK has more.
Because the immune system weakens with age, the risk of severe RSV increases for older adults. If you have certain chronic conditions such as heart disease, COPD, complicated diabetes, or asthma, you're at an increased risk of becoming severely ill from RSV. And RSV can also cause exacerbations of certain medical conditions.
Approximately 177,000 adults 65 and older are hospitalized due to RSV annually.
The CDC recommends a single RSV vaccine dose for adults between 50 and 74 years of age with certain risk factors, or 75 or older, to help protect against RSV.
For more information on RSV, talk to your local pharmacist and visit easyvax.com for more information about how to find vaccines available near you.
Some seizures may go unnoticed, but the stories of people with epilepsy will not. Share your story to educate others.
To empower others to seek treatment.
To show others they are not alone.
To help others change their journey.
Let's get everyone to start talking about epilepsy and seizures.
I am ready to share my story.
I'm ready to share my story.
Let's change our epilepsy story.
Let's change our epilepsy story.
For more information, visit changeourstory.org.
There's nothing worse than losing cell service while exploring the great outdoors, but that's changing fast. T-Mobile is bringing coverage to the most remote parts of the country with T-Satellite with Starlink, reaching over 500,000 square miles where towers can't, thanks to over 650 satellites already in orbit. Over 1 million messages have already been sent in hard-to-reach areas from national parks to remote trails. King of Phillips, travel expert.
As someone who's constantly off the beaten path, this changes everything. Now I can stay connected, even deep in the mountains or deserts.
For more information, visit T-Mobile.com, sponsored by T-Mobile.
My name is Judy Teeter, and I'm the mother of three boys. My youngest, Joe, was a great kid. He loved sports, music, and his youth group. One day, Joe asked me to drive him to an after-school event, which was about a mile from our home. I was driving through a green light when a car in cross traffic ran a red light and drove right into the side of our car, killing Joe. The driver was talking on her phone, so she never even saw the red light. She was so absorbed in her phone call. Before the crash, I didn't realize just talking on a cell phone while driving was so dangerous. Now it's something I think about every day. According to the National Safety Council, about 1 in 4 car crashes involves a cell phone. Hands-free is no safer. When you're behind the wheel, put away your phone. For Joe and for the thousands of needless deaths every year. Remember, there is no safe way to talk on a cell phone while driving. Find out more at nsc.org/callskill.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
Y'all gotta help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're gonna be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back to the Soaker Joe Show, everybody. Co-host Joe with you all here this weekend. Thank you for sticking with us through this hour of the program. And we are wrapping up the show with Nils Grevelius. He is a prominent Los Angeles-based private investigator of the Pinkerton Organization, best known for his investigation of the Wonderland Avenue murders, their cover-up, and the ties they exposed between L.A. city government and organized crime. His books include Skull Diggory and Sub Rosa, with his next book, The Lawman, due next year. Nils Grevelius, appreciate you being on the show. How are you today?
Well, I'm fantastic, Joe. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Just starting to lose my voice now. So what do you make
of
this?
I'll take over the show if you like. I can do it for 12 hours straight through.
Really? I will only ask for 8 minutes of your time, though. What do you make of this shooting that took place at the ICE facility in Texas?
Well, it's just another example of what we've come to here. Overexposure to left-wing radicalism, probably in social media and at home. Joshua John's parents looked to be leftist Democrats. His mother was a big advocate for gun control, that sort of thing. But that didn't prevent Joshua John from taking up arms. And you'll notice he didn't have sufficient marksmanship skill to actually take out any ICE agents, thank God. It's still very sad that a couple of illegal aliens were murdered by this fool. We will see more and more of this, I'm afraid, Joe.
Yes, because the media's rhetoric has not stepped down. In fact, the MSNBC, they brought on a former FBI agent who basically said the violence will continue unless ICE changes their methods, and suggested that ICE change their methods as opposed to suggesting the violence stop.
Right. Well, I would suggest that FBI agent losing his security clearance permanently for that. The man is clearly incompetent, and unlike in psychiatry, there actually is a metric for malpractice in criminal investigation.
Mm-hmm. And this is MSNBC security and intelligence analyst Christopher O'Leary, who was in question for anyone listening who wants to go look that guy up. So, yeah, that's just the sort of irresponsible dialogue we're getting from the politicians and from the media, though, about this sort of thing, where they're not blaming really the shooter or their own rhetoric. Rather, they're saying, well, the other side is at fault. The beatings will continue until you decide to apologize to us.
Right, exactly. Well, there's almost no leadership on the left on this. The only guy I can think of is Senator Fetterman from Pennsylvania. He gets out in front of it and is very responsible in what he says. But you're not seeing the de facto head of the Democrat Party, BHO, going out to say that there is a violence problem on the left, mostly because the violence problem on the left was partially of his creation. If you think about it, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, ACORN, Occupy, No Kings, it's all the same communist hydra, and he is the ringleader of it.
Mm. Yes, and you can probably trace a straight line between Occupy Wall Street's black bloc terrorist group and modern Antifa activists. And, you know, the name has changed, but what they do is the same. Probably some of the same faces, too.
It's the same people. It's the Blue Klux Klan. They go out in their Portland tuxedos and an N95 mask, and they are masked for a reason. And I'm calling on the Justice Department to release their booking photos every time they get arrested, along with their name, their date of birth, their hometown, and whatever employer or school they might be affiliated with. There should be a searchable database of them, and all of this should be made public. The sweet light of sunshine could do a lot to get rid of this.
Yeah, I mean, after January 6th, the FBI pretty much did the same thing with the Republicans and Trump supporters who were at January 6th. So now that the Antifa has been Trump is trying to get them as designated as a terrorist organization, you know, perhaps we'll see that same thing with Antifa, or at least we should, because they've certainly killed a lot more than the people at January 6th did.
Well, the only person killed on January 6th was one of the protesters, Ashley Babbitt, sadly. But yes, we're going to see more of this. And there's no stigma in leftist social media against this. They just as they wear masks in the street, in social media, they all use fake names and fake photos, that sort of thing. If you go over onto Blue Sky today, you'll see all sorts of stuff about how sorry they are that no ICE agents were killed in yesterday's attack.
That's still coming after Blue Sky's half-hearted attempt to crack down on people cheering assassinations with after the Charlie Kirk assassination, where Blue Sky threatened action against users, and they did suspend one user for like 24 hours. That's the only case I'm aware of. And other users call Blue Sky fascist for doing that.
Yeah, well, Blue Sky and Reddit seem to be septic tanks joined by a pipe or something. Execrable people say execrable things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess in a way, though, it's good that those groups are not shut down or anything, and that those platforms allow, to some extent, this speech, because it's got to be a hotbed for any agents who are investigating this sort of thing. You just look on over at Blue Sky. It shouldn't be that hard to figure out for the government to figure out who the users are.
Right, right. They shouldn't be shut down. I agree with you. The sweet light of sunshine. Let's amplify who these people actually are, who they work for, who's paying their salaries. It is my belief that without tax dollars and NGO money, there's very little left-wing violence in the streets.
Oh, there has to be. I mean, some of the weapons that you see these shooters use, they could not have been saving up their pennies for it. I think it was the Minneapolis shooter, the trans person who did the shooting. You know, I saw the layout of weapons that person had, and I figured at least $1,000 if all that was used, and $1,600 if it was new.
Right, right, exactly. All of these people seem to have money for this, and high concentrate cannabis and AI and lots of electronic devices that the interiors of which never get released to the public. It's all quite troubling. In fact, there's an article today in Wired about a new fake psychosis, which Wired is relating to people overusing AI chatbots. And it's not a psychosis as much as it's a personality disorder. So instead of just going onto Reddit and saying something violent or stupid or inhumane or something like that, I can have a bot in my phone that gives me a like every time I say something aggressive or inappropriate or suggesting violence or death or mayhem, that sort of thing. And that reinforces the personality disorder these people have.
Wow. Well, thank you for being. I wish we had another segment to talk further about that, but Nils Grevelius, appreciate you being on the Silk or Joe Show to talk about this. And listeners, our websites are mainstreamnetwork.com and, well, alannathan.com as well. I have to give that one out because it is our sister show. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.